Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Rather lengthy passage of scripture as we preach and teach you from Genesis chapter 26. Turn with me there, Genesis 26, reading from the New King James. We'll read the first six verses, then we'll move down to verse 12 and following. Let's read the word of the Lord. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines at Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I shall give all these lands. I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice." Would you say verse 5 with me? "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Go down to verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. So that's miraculous because there's a famine, but not for him, apparently. "And the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him." Verse 15. "Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the land of Abraham his father and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of that well Esek, because they quarreled with him. They dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved on from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Verse 23. "And he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well." Father, thank you for what you did at the first service and what you'll do now in this second. Move in power. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Dig a new well." It has to be probably 10, 12 years ago, I was in a conference with Chuck Pierce. And Chuck Pierce preached from this text. Power of God was just crackling through the congregation. And as he walked towards me, coming off of the platform, he high-fived me like a man. Now, what do I mean by that? That means it stung. It had a stand. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? A stinging high-five. And he looked me in my baby blues and said, "Dig a new well." And when he did that, it was like something got deposited in my spirit. And I never forgot it. It stayed with me all these years. Last week, we had Prophetess Jane Hammond, and what a powerful message. Now, if you did not hear that, you were not here, you can get it. It's on YouTube, it's on Spotify, it's on Facebook. And I thought that I would now do the second message in this series, not because her message was so powerful, and it was, but because unbeknownst to her, I had been working on this message already, and it was on the desktop of my computer. So when she preached it, I thought, oh, I'm doing part two. And so this is part two. One of the things she said that we found to be absolutely true is a prophetic word. The word of the Lord will set you up and prepare you to be where you need to be. It positions you. I've been positioned. Anybody else? Come on. Have you been positioned? When you get a word from God, it positions you to be ready for what he wants to do. She preached in both services, the 9 and the 11. And if you were in the 11 o'clock, raise your hand if you were in the 11. So some of you were not. Unbeknownst to her and unbeknownst to me that I remembered in the 11, she's talking about how this church is a well and it's filled with well diggers and that God is going to use us to break open new territory in Juneau. Can you say yes? In Fairbanks and everywhere else we go. We're going to open nations. We're going to plant churches. We're one church in many locations. We have 900 now, and we're going to continue to grow. The new vision for the next 4.5 years is 2,300 extensions. That's a big jump from 900, but I was around when we had 3. And now we have 900, and it is truly amazing. So she's preaching this thing on the well. I was reminded, and I did what I'm about to do now, that in this sanctuary, we purchased this property all those years ago by a miracle act of God, and the building, of course, was erected by an act of God as well. When we purchased it, there was a commercial well right here. It is right here underneath my feet. A commercial well was here, and the plan of the building, we had to put the wellhead actually inside the sanctuary. And when she was preaching, I thought, that's a prophetic act, that the fact that we have a wellhead on the inside of our sanctuary. Now, sometimes you got to change pumps out in wells, and I remember asking our engineer people, how are we going to do that? Well, apparently, you can hook up to this beam right here and hoist it right out so it'll work. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. Find me another church with a wellhead in the middle of the sanctuary. That's just, why would you do that? Well, you wouldn't unless God did it. In fact, underneath this ground here is an incredible source of water underneath our building. An ocean, one person said. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, I'm gonna dig a new well. This text is profound. I mean, Isaac is having a problem. There's a famine. And you see from this text, what Isaac did gives us some keys on how we can transition, keys on how to transition into the next season. There's a new season God has for you. Come on, somebody say, man, I'm going into my new season. There's a new season that God has for you. How are you going to move into that new season? We're going to a new season of growth. We're going to a new season of expansion. We're going into a new season of expansion. We're going to a new season of outpouring. We're going to a new season, a new well of healing. Can you say amen? We're going to a new well of salvation and breakthrough. Come on, somebody say amen. Keys on how to transition to the next season. He was going to move to Egypt. Now, Egypt was not as susceptible to famine as some of the land surrounding it, and it's because of the Nile. So you'll see at other times, Jacob, for instance, went to Egypt when there was a famine, but he's not supposed to go to Egypt. The logical thing in the midst of a famine is to go to Egypt, understand. But God says to him, don't go there. Isn't that incredible? Stay in the land. He doesn't even just say, stay in the land. He says, stay in the land. I'm going to show you. Where is it? I'll show you. I mean, how are you going to dwell in the land that he's going to show you? I mean, that's faith. So he's going to move to Egypt, but he doesn't. God says, stay in the land, verse 2. And God gives him these 5 promises, this verses 1 through 6. Look at these with me. The first promise, if he obeys, the first promise is that I'll be with you. Verse 3, I will be with you. Is God with you? You know, if God's with you, you're going to make it. If God's not with you, you ain't going to make it. When you look at the life of Joseph, and we did a series on Joseph a number of years ago, you saw that Joseph just constantly was overcoming. No matter what happened to him, he was in the pit, but God was with him. He got sold into slavery, but God is with him. He ends up in Potiphar's house, God is with him. He ends up in the prison, and God is with him. In all of those instances, God elevates him, God promotes him, God brings him through until the point when he becomes the second in command of the strongest nation in the world. How did that happen? Simple. God was with him. Come on, I'll be with you, says the Lord. Come on, say, God's with me. Now, you can't fake that. If he is with you, then he's with you, and you'll see it by the evidence of a life that's transformed. You're just constantly overcoming, constantly being moved to the next place, constantly being provided for, constantly being healed, constantly being encouraged. You know, I had an interesting experience when I got up to preach in the second service just a minute ago. As we were singing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," I felt like an older person. I don't physically feel old. I just felt like, wow, that's, you're really kind of, it's kind of got a seasoned feel about the service with the hymn and everything. And I just thought, I don't think I've ever felt that before. And I've got a grandchild now, and I know many of you, some of you got like 50 grandchildren. Praise God. One day I'll have 50. By the grace of God, who knows what the Lord will do. I have one right now. But that one beautiful little daughter, granddaughter of ours, is so special. You know, when they got on the airplane, we spent the week together and had a time of refreshing and just kind of checked out after the conference for a few days. When they took off, drove them to the airport, and they got on the plane, and I drove away. Oh, my gosh, I don't like that. Does anybody else know what that's like? So there go my kids and my granddaughter. And as I drive away, I'm feeling this sorrow. And I just had to say, stop it. Because I got nothing to be sorry about. I have everything to be filled with joy about. God's plan is coming about. And it's interesting. If you allow yourself to dwell in a place of famine, then it can really get on you. God's with me. He's fulfilling the... I was talking to Dr. Gannon. And we were talking about people that have midlife crisis. And I gave him a quote that Dr. Morocco gave me because I asked him. You know, it's like the 50-year-old that goes and buys a red Maserati and drives around or whatever. Good luck in Alaska with that. You rip the undercarriage of that thing out in the first quarter mile. I said, what about that, Dr. Morocco? He said, the only reason people have midlife crisis is they have no vision. I said, explain that to me. He said, if you have vision, you're not worried about what you don't have or what you've missed. You're too focused and set on fulfilling the plan that God has for you. I thought, oh, I'm doing that. I'm going to do that. So while there's sorrow and famine that can feel like times of famine, if you'll know that God is with you and you're staying in the land, you're doing what God called you to do, even though there's difficulty in times of sickness and times of famine, He'll be with you and he'll bring you to the next place. Can you say yes? And I will bless you. Number two, there's five promises here. I will bless you. Come on, when God blesses you, he adds no trouble to it. He makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. I'll give you, number three, I'll give you all these lands to you and your descendants. My kids are going to have a lot of land. How's that? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to gather it right now. Why would you do that? So I can leave an inheritance, because a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I've had people say, well, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. Somebody said soon. Yes, soon can be hundreds of years according to scripture. He is coming back. You live like he's not coming back in your lifetime. You plan like he's coming back. You live like he's coming back at any moment. You plan like he's not coming in your lifetime. So I'm planning to leave an inheritance to my children. Why? Because he's going to give the lands to my descendants. He's going to bless me. He's with me. Come on, somebody say amen. I will multiply your descendants. That's why I'm going to have a lot of grandchildren. Hannah, listen up. Daniel, after you get married, you have a lot of children. I love these promises. Number one, I'll be with you. Two, I'll bless you. Three, I'll give all the lands to your descendants. All these lands, and if I could bring it to the actual application of what it's talking about all the land belongs to Israel. Hello? Not popular. They have the original title deed. I'll multiply your descendants. All the nations. Number five, all the nations will be blessed through your offspring. Wow. And God's promise was passed down to the next generation because of the obedience of Abraham. Now that is astounding. Say, why does that mean anything to me? Do you know the way that you live will determine what's passed down to your kids? Your steps of faith, your overcoming, you're turning the other cheek, you're going the extra mile, you're continuing to contend for God's outpouring and God's blessing in your life, it matters. And it matters so much so that it's going to be passed. You say, well, I don't have any kids. Well, still, it matters. It matters for you. It matters for me because we're going to stand before God on the end. In the end, we'll stand before him on the day of judgment to give an account for how we lived our lives. But there's a tie here. This passing down to the next generation because of the obedience of Abraham, that means because of the obedience of Bruno, the next generation's going to be blessed. Because of the obedience of Tom, because of the obedience of John, because of the obedience of Daniel, because of the obedience of Mary, because of the obedience of Nancy, because of the obedience of Karen, because of the obedience, fill your name in, you will release God's power over a generation. Man, when I was in my 30s, I didn't really think about the other generation. I'm like, I'm the only generation. I had hair and thought I was slick and didn't really think about the generations. It is mostly what I think about now. I feel like I'm 25, but I'm almost 60, and that's young, and I'm going for 120 years. But the more I read scripture, the more I realize that there is a great tie to my steps of faith and obedience and what takes place in my generation, what takes place in my family. I remember in a meeting with Dr. Morocco, it was like raining in this meeting, and he pointed at me and said, Daniel, which sort of took the wind out of my sails on one level. On the other level, praise the Lord. He said, part of the reason you're having so much fruit, it's not you. It's your generations. And on my mother's side, there's, I don't know, is it 12 generations of pastors? 12. 12. That's a lot. Of the family tree, all of that. And if you get prideful about that, you're an idiot. So I'm not prideful about it, but I do happen to be in the midst of it. And I realize I could forfeit that if I choose wrongly, if I didn't obey, if I rejected the Lord. Listen, you can abort the plan of God for your family. Let me come over here because I'm not feeling the love on the left side of the church. You can abort God's plan. You can abort God's plan. If you obey, if you go the distance, you will see God's blessing released on your family. If you do not, you do not have that promise. All of these things to Isaac were because of the obedience of Abraham. The promise was passed down to the next generation. Why? Because of the obedience of Mary. Because of the obedience of, fill your name in. I mean, that's a motivator. Isaac stayed in the land. The guillotine of faith is reason. He stayed in the land. He stayed in the land. Jesus' brothers said, you know what? You need to get this thing to Jerusalem. You need to get out of the wilderness. Take this show into Jerusalem. And he said, it's not time for me to do that. There's a drive of logic on how to do things. Church growth has got a lot of great ideas. The greatest idea is the idea that God gives you. Stay in the land. Makes no sense. There's famine. It's okay. If I tell you to stay there, you stay. And at other times, they would go to Egypt, but he tells them to stay, and he obeys. There's a sovereignty of God, but we have our role in choosing. We have our role in choice. He planted crops, and God blessed him with a hundredfold return. So get this. There's a famine. So a famine is an agricultural problem. Maybe there's no water. It was a drought, famine. There's no food. He says, stay and farm. He does it and gets a hundredfold return. Anybody ever seen that movie, Faith Like Potatoes? Okay, it's got a really gruesome section in there. It's a death of this boy. But that Faith Like Potatoes is a powerful, powerful movie where he believed it was impossible and he got this hundredfold return. It takes place, I think, in Australia. The key is obeying God. What did God say? Do what God said. And many times we can reason that away because it doesn't make sense. No, Egypt is where I should be. No famine in Egypt. No. Your new season, you have to really hear from God. He became wealthy. I love verse 13. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. And let me ask you, why would the scriptures even talk about that? Now, you might not like it, and there's certainly been abuse. But when you look at someone who serves God with all their heart, let me just tell you, over the course of a lifetime, I don't mean the course of 2 months, 3 months, or a year. I'm talking the course of a lifetime. Look at someone who serves God with all their heart. And at the course of a lifetime, at the end of that lifetime, they are exceedingly prosperous. I know not one. I'm not talking about finances because this works in the bush of Africa. And it works anywhere all around the world. God's principles work. So I'm not talking about this Western wealth. I'm talking about real, true kingdom principles that release kingdom prosperity, not a Western prosperity. And if you serve God with all your heart, that's what will happen for you and your children. Come on, lift a hand as heaven and say, I'm going to do that. Began to prosper. This is process. He began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. You know, sometimes you might start small. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. And then God will expand your capacity. He expands your capacity. If you can't be faithful with what you have right now, and I'm not talking about just finances, but I am certainly including them. If you can't be a faithful friend right now, why would you have healthy friendships? If you can't be faithful in your marriage, why would you have a blessed marriage? If you can't be faithful to the Lord, why would you see blessings poured out upon you? Cain gave what he wanted to God. Abel gave what was required. And what happened to Cain was he got angry. How come you don't accept my gift? And God says to him, if you do what's right, will you not be accepted? There's blessing. Blessing from heaven is released by obeying his word. And it can be challenging, but the payoff is very, very good. It's a life of blessing in God. Became very wealthy. His family wells were stopped up. And I've found that this stratagem for causing frustration and difficulty, the enemy will try to stop up family wells. They still do this. I lived in Greece for a short period of time, and they did flood irrigation. How many of you know what flood irrigation is? They would open up these gates, and they would make these rivers that go down to all these Rodaiki. You know, it was a peach farm orchard. And it takes a long time for the water to get there. So once the water is getting there, if somebody cuts it off upstream quite a ways, you don't find out for a couple hours. And there was always these wars between these farmers where they would, you know, drop a gate and redirect the water because they wanted more water to their land. And there'd be these arguments. The same happens today in that part of the world where they will stop up wells. There's arguments. Where there's water, there's life. If there's no water, there's death. And so the Philistines stop up these wells. And Isaac reopened them and dug a new one. All right, let me give you some simple principles. How will you respond in this next season? Now, maybe you're feeling like you're in a drought, you're in a famine, or maybe you're just in the greatest season of your life. I'm feeling like I'm in the greatest season of my life, but I'm contending for much. How will you respond moving forward? Well, the first thing is get a word from God. You got to get a word from God. Everybody say, I'm going to get a word. Okay. Somebody said, I've never gotten a word. Nobody's ever given me a word. Here, I'm going to give you one. It's right here. Read the whole thing. It's God's word to you. When I want God to speak to me, just read it out loud. Read the word. Everybody say, read the word. If you read the word, he'll speak to you. And I would say this, read the scripture and let it come alive in your heart. Let Jesus walk up and down the pages of your heart. Read it until you read something that's like, whoa. I mean, you will feel it. Now, there's a veil that can be over our eyes. I remember early on, before I received Jesus and repented of my sin, I would read scripture. It made no sense. I'd read the Psalms. It was kind of nice, I guess. And then the Proverbs, I could see some wisdom in that, but I couldn't read anything else because it was like mumbo jumbo. And then when I got saved, when I got born again, everything's just jumped off the page. You'll read the word. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again. And read the epistles, which are letters. Read through the New Testament. And learn to study. Get the word deep down in the city of your soul. Learn to think the word. You want to become a spiritual athlete? You want to be great in the sight of God? And to be the servant of all? And the way that that attitude and that anointing gets in you is by reading the word. Read the word. Study the word. Build your life on the word of God, and you will see the blessings poured out. So Isaac got a word from God, and the way that I live my life, the way the Brackens live our lives is we pray and we get a word from God. And we move forward on that. I make decisions, even coming here today. I was in Alyeska, I've been skiing, it's fantastic. Coming here today. So I imagine how I'm gonna drive, who's gonna drive, how am I gonna do that? We had some other vehicles that had to be returned, just some complex moving pieces. So I pray, and then I run scenarios. Why are you telling us this, Pastor? Because some of you don't run scenarios, you just go to Egypt. Let the Spirit of God lead you. So I'll pray and I'll imagine, well, I had a plan. I was going to drive one of the cars, one of these other guys was going to drive one of the other ones, and the Lord spoke to me in the middle of it and said, don't do that. You're not driving that car, you're driving the other one. I really felt like the Lord spoke to me. I said, okay. You see, now you might think that's weird, except we're all here safe, vehicles are returned, and God is good. Now, I don't shirk that. You know what shirk means? I don't throw that off, because it could be that is really literally the word of the Lord. And if somebody else was to be driving that other vehicle, maybe there would be a problem. I'm not freaked out or in fear, but at the same time, I see this hand of God sovereignly leading this church, leading my life, leading the lives of every mature believer that walks in step with the Spirit of God. You've got to get a word from God. If you're going to run for office, you better hear from God. You're going to start a business, you better hear from God. You're going to sell your business, you better hear from God. It's important. Now, there's principles, and you never break those, but in between that, let God speak to you through prayer. You pray through worship, wisdom, and counsel. In Genesis 46, Jacob is facing a famine, and God says to him in Genesis 46, dude, you better get out of here. You better go to Egypt. Tells him to go to Egypt. Well, how come he didn't go to Egypt? I don't know. This time you don't go to Egypt. Another time you do go to Egypt. Why is that? Because you got to get a word from God. Plant a seed. Everybody say, plant a seed. Could I have keys, please? Plant a seed. You know, when you begin to take action and you invest in what you feel like, and don't get freaked out because I'm not taking an offering. I'm just trying to help you. You got to learn to be a giver. Yeah, tither, but a giver. You got to be a giver. Learn to be a giver. And you got to learn to sow. It's kind of like put your money where your mouth is. You really believe that God is going to do that. You could learn to sow. And that's what he did. He sowed, of course, seed. But everything's a seed. Your whole life is a seed. Your whole life is a seed. And finances are funny because they represent our time, and there's so much swirling around about greed. But everything you do is sowing seed. Your attitude, you know, that rotten one that you've been struggling with, that's a seed. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. If you sow to the whirlwind, if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. It's a picture of multiplication. So he planted a seed. And you know, I believe that right now there's the greatest transfer of wealth could be taking place in all of history. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. If you're righteous, lift your hand. You're made righteous by the blood. Anybody made righteous by the blood? That's where then there's lived out imputed righteousness. Imputed is receiving his righteousness. Imparted is living it out. God's going to bless you. And I believe that there's a tremendous ideas that God is releasing. I believe that there's inventions being released. I believe there's business ideas being released. And you can miss those by being nearsighted. Believe God that you would be a conduit of his blessing. Can you say yes? And this is a time where God demonstrated his power to Isaac, just as he did to Abraham. God elevated Isaac. Come on. God elevated Isaac, and God will elevate you. Say that. God elevated Isaac. Make it personal. And God will elevate me. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, hey, God elevated Isaac. God will elevate you. Gentleman with the glasses, dead ahead. You have a camo, great camo shirt on right there. Glasses, great bald head. My friend, can you wave at me? I have a word for you. You have some things that are before you and some decisions you need to make. And I see the Lord giving you supernatural wisdom to make the right choice. There's no way that you could make the right choice without him speaking to you. I see God speaking to you. I see you stepping out and moving forward. That which was stuck, that was supposed to bring forth great resource, it was like it got stopped. The Lord is going to breathe on that thing, and he is going to perform his good word that he spoke to you. You have a word from God. I affirm that to you by the Spirit of the Lord, and he's going to cause that thing to reap just like he said it would. There was a blockage. If you position yourself in prayer, he's going to show you. I see some people being moved. I see some others being added, and I see God breathing on that thing and it producing like it was supposed to. It's not dead. It's been dormant. It's been just lying there. The enemy fought hard because he knew if there was a release, what that would do for you and your whole family. You receive that? Sometimes the Lord shows me things and then I share those. That's prophetic insight. Got to contend for new wells. Come on. Going to see greater healing than we've ever seen before. Going to see greater breakthrough than we've ever seen before. Going to see more miracles than ever before. Going to see families healed and restored, not strife, not sitna. Those two wells, Asek and sitna, there's strife and hatred. I have a zero strife policy. Don't allow strife in your life where there's envy and strife, says the book of James. There's every evil thing. Don't allow envy and strife. I don't allow it. I have a zero strife policy in the church, zero strife policy in my staff, zero strife policy in my family. Well, how do you maintain that? Well, as soon as something comes up that's strifey, you resolve it, you confront it. Don't allow that in your home. Don't allow your teenage son to get all strifey with your wife or with you. Hello, is strifey a word, doctor? How about strifage? Okay. Dig a new well. Peace and blessing. God is bringing us to a brand new season. Shout to God all across this place. Did you get something from the Lord? Lift your hands to heaven. Two totally different services we had this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. Come on, just talk to God. How many of you felt like God, he ministered to you, showed you something in your own life? You know, there were times in my life when I was growing up, and I'm still growing up. Let me go back to this inheritance thing because I felt God on that. I am the Abraham in my family, okay? My father's going to be 88 soon. 88, I think. Doesn't know the Lord like we do, different. I believe he's going to heaven. My father, and he could be on now, and I mean no disrespect. I think if he would to be honest, he would say the same. He's a very intense man. He's a Marine and a lawyer. Just add that combination together all by itself, and that's intense. A Marine. Semper Fi, paint is good. Any Marines in here? Because once you're a Marine, apparently you're always a Marine. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And there was an intensity about him, and there was times where he was angry. That really affected me, and it printed me. Listen closely. It printed me. What do you mean by that? I don't know. I just got like a, there was an anger thing in me. And so as I, before I was saved, I mean, I'm going to try to kill you with my racket, my tennis racket. If you beat me, I try to hit you with my racket. You know, that's not the kind of guy you want to be around. And throw my racket at you over the net. Just totally lose control. And there were times where I'd black out. Actually, this is before I was saved. Somebody say it's before he got saved. I really think I had a demon of rage, which is really a murder spirit. And so I eventually got born again. And when I was born again, I realized that my anger was really a cover for deep hurt, is what it was. Just deep, deep hurt. And I saw that generational anger in there. Well, I answered altar calls. We was talking to one of my friends just this week. I answered every altar call. I still answer. I answer my own altar calls. I'd come to the front. I have people, have leaders pray for me, anointed. I would be at every altar call there was. I don't mean for salvation. I mean, I'd gotten saved. If you need healing, now I would respond because I needed healing of something. I would just come from, you need a fresh fill, that's me. Need healing? Yep, I'm in. Yep, just constantly coming to the front. So I answered many altar calls of getting healed of anger and all of that. And yet at the same time, I saw that passed down to my kids. There was like an intensity and a short fusedness and an anger, a little bit of anger that God had to just set me free from. So during COVID, we had a family meeting while we're all trapped inside by the scamdemic. And we had a family meeting, and Hannah's there, my daughter, who's soon to be 27, I think, and then Daniel, who just got engaged, saw a picture there, and Pastor Karen. We're all sitting around the table, and we're discussing our family issues, which is a great thing if you can handle it. And we were discussing some of the things that were difficult in the family as well. Anyway, everything was my fault. I mean, like, it came down to you, Dad, when you, Dad. I'm like, Pastor Karen walks on water still to this day. And my intensity and my anger at times really hurt them. Listen, I'm telling you this not because I'm confessing. I already confessed. I'm telling you because some of you have lust like that, anger like that, greed like that. Some of you are imprinting your kids, not with the obedience of Abraham. And I'm preaching way better than you're amening right now. Not with the obedience of Abraham. You're imprinting them with your brokenness that you haven't dealt with. I've already repented. I'm clean. That's under the blood. And so as we went through these things, there's tears, we're crying, and I knew it was bad when Pastor Karen reached across. She takes hold of my hand and says, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Uh-huh." I just had to repent. And I grieved because I thank God for his mercy. I grieved because if I had another chance, I would not do that. I had to mature, I had to grow, and there's a lot of wonderful things that were imparted. I'm not down. Please don't come and pat me on the back and say it's going to be all right. It's good, believe me. It's awesome. I'm sharing the details of this because some of you have littles around your house, and some of you have marriages and things that you are led like a little pull toy by the stronghold that you have, that you nurse. You don't deal with it, and you say, "Well, my father was like that." Yeah, maybe he was, but you don't have to be. You can be healed. You can become like Jesus. You can be set free. You don't have to be bound. You can be liberated. So you want to be like Abraham and release the blessing of God, the wells of blessing. There's so much that God is going to release to families. There's so much he wants to release through you. You must see your role of responsibility. I am going to continue to dig new wells, and I'm going to continue to release it upon my family and your family. I'm going to stay on fire. I'm going to stay full of the word. I'm going to preach, pray, prophesy. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be covered in strife. I'm going to finish my race, Pastor Alex. And it can be a little humiliating. Somebody said, you're way too transparent. Well, maybe you're not transparent enough there, Slick. You won't be reading about me having some problem. We've got structures in place. Amen. Amen. Amen, Mama. Lift your hands to Jesus. Let me have that again. Father, in Jesus' name, relax. Lord, heal his shoulder right now. 3, 2, now. Sing that. In every area of your life, dig a new well. There's a stance of aggressively going after God's plan and purpose. Dig a new well. Take my life. Take my life. Give. Would you stand with us? We're concluding. Sing it, Minister Heidi. Oh, I want Jesus. Come on, we're going to dig a new well. A well that people can drink from. A well of healing divine. A well of provision. I want Jesus. Make it your prayer. Put the lyrics up if you can.
Take this world and then give me him.
Sing it again with all your heart. Sing it.
Oh, I want
in every
Jesus.
Area of our lives, we would obey like Abraham.
Oh,
the generations will be blessed.
I want him.
Our sons will be like Isaac.
Oh,
our daughters like Rachel.
I want Jesus. Take this world and give me him.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. Repent. Give your life to Jesus. He died on a cross. He rose again from the grave. And the Bible says, as too many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You only become his child by receiving him. Oh, sure, you're made in God's image. Absolutely. But you're not forgiven until you receive the payment for your sin. The payment for your sin and mine is the death of God's one and only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Your sin deserves death. Everyone's sin deserves death. God is righteous and true and just. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, listen closely, we confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just, justice. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only way that you can be cleansed from unrighteousness is because of justice. And justice served is the death of Jesus in your place. It's a substitutionary death. The Apostle Paul says it's a propitiation of our sin. You deserve judgment. And that judgment was served, averted from you, and placed upon Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace, Isaiah 53, was upon him. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, for the love of God, do it today. Because you're not promised not one more day. And if you have given your life to Jesus before, but you realize that you're in compromise, or you've drifted, you're not as on fire as you used to be, well, come home. That's why we built this church. We built this church for you, so that we could grow in God and release generational blessings and reach the lost. Every service, I share this brief little sermon on getting right with God, because it's the most important thing you will hear. God loves you. You're separated from God's plan because of your sin. Repent. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must be born again, John 3. Again, every head bowed, every eye closed, give your heart to Jesus first time. Number two, make a recommitment all across this place. You say, that's me. On the count of three, slip your hand up. One, two, do it now. Three, wow. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you over on this right side. God bless you. See all those beautiful hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over on this left side. God bless you in the back. I see that hand, son. I see that hand. Lift your hand high. Woo. Thank you. Thank you. You know what we're going to do? Stay right there. If you raised your hand, or you didn't, but you know you need to be included in this prayer, step out from where you are. Meet me right here. Come. We're going to pray all together. Come, 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 come. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come. Don't let anything keep you in your seat. The enemy will keep you in your seat. Get out of your seat. Come. Don't stop clapping. It's the most important walk of your life. Come right now. Come. Come. We don't want to embarrass anybody, and I'm not going to. But there's something about responding. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will. Don't stop clapping. If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you. You lifted your hand or you didn't. Come and meet me right up front. Come on, we're just going to pray. It'll be the last thing we do and we close. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. There's like six or seven people. I'm going to wait for you. Come on. Come on, come, 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 come out from where you are. Come out from where you are. It's a brand new day, brand new, a moment longer. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. I bind every assignment that would hold people back from giving their lives to you right now. I sever and cut every cord, every tie. Right now in the name of Jesus, be loose. In Jesus' name, come, come, come. 30 seconds. I know I'm taking an awkward moment, a little bit long, but you're worth it. Come, come, glory to God. Come, come, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, glory, hallelujah. Woo! All right, pray with me right out loud. Right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Say, do I have to do it out loud? Yeah, yeah. Apparently, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Yes, with your mouth is important. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to forgive me for all of my wrongs, for everything I've done wrong. I turn towards you and ask you to wash me, cleanse me from all sin. Come into my heart, come into my life. Write my name in your book in heaven and use me for the purpose for which I was created. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands as a universal sign of surrender. Holy Spirit, fill these now. Break every chain. Break every bondage. Raise up these well diggers. People that will dig a new well to bring forth your kingdom, not only in their own lives and in their own family, but in this community and everywhere they go. Fill them full of your spirit. And I pray, Lord, not only for them, but for the entire congregation, that you, by your finger, would put your finger right on the places, like I confessed about anger. You'd put your finger on things that are possibly going to abort and derail them, and they would deal with it and renew their mind through your word and be healed of trauma, be healed of rejection, be healed of even generational iniquity. Set every single person free for the glory of God. Alcoholism, go. Drug addiction, go. Suicidal thoughts, go. The spirit of suicide, I command you to shut your mouth. Touch your people now and free them for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.